Hey, what's going on, guys? Thank you so much for joining me today on Vicious Whispers with Mark Tullius. Today we have episode 30. The short story at the end of the podcast will be 4%. That is one of my favorite stories from my collection, 25 Perfect Days plus 5 More. Those stories are, it's a dystopian collection of short stories, a mosaic novel. They all kind of blend together. They're all somehow connected and written over a 40-year period that takes place in the future. 4% is the fifth story in the collection. It was also one of the very first stories that I wrote. I wrote this, 5 Minutes Alone, and a couple other shorts that I sold to small magazines. And it wasn't until later that I realized that they could all be put together. And I believe my wife had something to do with that. She usually has some pretty good ideas. And I think she might have been the one that first suggested that I put them in. So that one is a cool one. It's about a little trip to the DMV. Hopefully you guys will enjoy it and be able to relate a little bit. What's been going on? Fucking school is now over. Actually, that's not entirely true. My son did his little kindergarten graduation yesterday, which, holy shit, I had no idea that was such a big deal. I didn't remember parents making such a big deal about people graduating from kindergarten. But yeah, they had a whole celebration and everyone was supposed to dress up nice. But we had fun. It was a good deal. And I got some quality editing in while I was sitting there because I had reserved seats. So I was there maybe an hour and a half early. And I was able to edit the second to last chapter of Beyond Brightside. Only one more to go. Pretty pumped. Actually had to add a chapter, so instead of 30 chapters, now we're on 31. It's cool though. Everything is working out. I still don't know how the very last part of the scene is going to work. I do know the one I'm on right now. I always break chapters into three parts, so I'm knocking out the first part right now. I have a rough idea on what happens in the next two. But until I write that first one, I won't know what happens next. And I think as a writer, that's always a little bit scary. It's like, oh shit, what happens in the book? I don't know what happens. I don't know what happens. But it's also kind of exciting to figure it out. So that is what I have been working on. And besides going to these graduations or promotions or whatever you want to call them, my daughter last week got promoted from fifth grade. And so she'll be starting middle school next year, and some will be starting first grade. Hopefully it will allow me to get a little bit more writing in. But as far as summer goes, I know it's going to be a little tough to get stuff done. Although one of the things I'm doing is I am forcing my daughter to help me. Actually, not really forcing it. I'm offering an opportunity for her to learn. What I thought would be cool, she's shown an interest in marketing. They talked about it at school. One of her projects was having to do a commercial for a dairy company or whatever. So she's very interested in it. I said, hey, look, I said, why don't we do this together? We'll learn how to market books, ebooks, print books, audio books. We'll take a good look at each one of my books, figure out SEO, completely rework the copy. See what works, what doesn't, and then run all kinds of ads and shit like that. Stuff that I do not do at all. I need to do it, but I just have not because I would rather spend this time writing. I have such limited time that I really have to be, you know, I have to pick and choose what I'm doing. But I was like, that's a cool project for us to do together. We've already started it. She was going over all the reviews from Twisted Reunion to see, you know, what are some of the keywords, what are some of the things. And I was telling her, I was like, hey, you don't have to spend so much time on it, you can just browse over it. She's like, no, I really like reading this. And so it was kind of cool. It was cool to see that she gets to see all these unbiased people and their opinion of my writing. And for Twisted Reunion, there aren't any, the worst ones were 3 stars. There are 2 3-stars, and I think they both said pretty good read and pick up this book. So I was like, that's not bad. For Messiah, I don't think we've got any official 1 stars yet, but I know for a couple books. I think 25 Perfect Days probably has 1 or 2 1-stars, and you always get some assholes out there. But whatever, everyone has their own opinion. But that's going to be a pretty cool bonding exercise with her. Another thing we will be doing together is just practicing German. I've been doing that. She's starting to pick it up a little bit. And so I thought that'd be a fun little thing for us to do. And with my son, I'll probably be doing Spanish. He likes Spanish. Although he has been going around telling everyone, Das Wetter ist schlecht. So he's telling everyone the weather is bad. So he's picking up little words here and there and trying to use it at school, which is kind of fun. As far as plans for summer, originally I had wanted to do jiu-jitsu and yoga. Now my shoulder has been so jacked up that that doesn't seem like it's going to happen. I will be doing a lot of physical therapy, back to basics, and here at home. I'm realizing the importance of that, so I'm going to try to use this summer to just get my shoulder and my low back strong enough to where once summer's over, I could just jump back into training. I recently took a look at all the things on my to-do list and what I want to get done. And after I wrote them all down, I was like, oh shit. I was like, I definitely got my work cut out for me. Sometimes I'm hard on myself and I think that, I don't really do a whole lot because of, it's not a real job. And sometimes I feel like, the writing's enjoyable and it's not really work. And it's hard to quantify how much time I'm actually spending because, shit, I have my papers with me everywhere. I'm always doing something on them. And even if I'm not actually writing down notes or editing or whatever, I'm working on in my head. But in addition to that, here, let me just run down my list. I got them all on here. I like to see stuff. That's why I write it all down. So besides the stuff that I'm doing with my daughter, which is reworking, rethinking each book, doing all that, I have the podcast. That doesn't take a whole lot of time, but it does, a couple hours though to record and then put it up and promote it. I still have to figure out the whole German publisher agent angle and all that. But those are just the small things. So after taking a look at all this, I was like, okay, this is all stuff that could legitimately get done in the next 6 months. So before the end of the year, which was the plan. But I got my work cut out for me. So the first thing, the audiobook for Unlocking the Cage, TQuone is making those changes. We need to put it up. This is the first time that I'm going to put it up, not through ACX, not through Audible, but through Findaway. I'm starting to use them more, and I'm actually going to do an exclusive deal with them and see how that turns out. But in addition to putting out that book, which won't take much time for me, I need to make a short film for the prologue, like a minute long, and then I'm going to produce each of the chapters into a little video that we'll be able to put up on YouTube. That's going to take a little bit, and then make into a complete documentary. That will take some work because each of these chapters is, let's say, half hour, yeah, probably about 30 minutes on average. And then putting the pictures and the videos to them. To make a little movie, that's going to take a little bit of work, but I probably will have my daughter helping me with that. I think she'll enjoy that. And that might be a little bit of a process. Haven't really figured out exactly how long that will take. Along with that, I am starting to write my brain book. Now that Beyond Brightside, this first draft, is getting finished up, I'm going to switch to the brain book. I'm flying up to see my friend Michael Porman, who is in a study at the Mayo Clinic. His wife did tons and tons of research on CTE and traumatic brain injuries because she was noticing effects on him. So I'm going to go up there and interview both of them, stay with them for a day or two. That is coming up in, I believe, 2 weeks. Actually, still need to go buy my ticket. After that, I will go back to Las Vegas, do a battery of tests with the Cleveland Clinic, interview Dr. Burnick again. From there, I'm also getting my blood work redone from Dr. Mark Gordon and his daughter Allison. Been doing the hormone treatment with them, which has done wonders. But it's been about a year, so we will retest and see where we're at with all those markers. And then I'm just half so free time now is starting to do more research, really getting into the brain stuff again, and figuring out exactly what other experts I want to interview. So that writing is going to be starting. I still need to record Messiah. My buddy Jeff Campbell's going to do that, but I am going to be doing it with him. I'll be doing the actual recording of it. He'll be doing the narration. So that's going to take a while. I figure probably about 40 hours, maybe about 2 weeks of actual work. We need to record the Try Not to Die and Brightside. My friend Donna is on that. Don't know when she's going to get that done. But the cool thing too, which I've told her and everyone else, is I got so much shit going on. Doesn't really matter when something comes out or when something's ready. Like, it'll come out when it comes out. And then finish Brightside, Beyond Brightside. So where we're at now, I mentioned earlier, I'm almost done with chapter 31. It'll take me about a week to finish that up. Puts me at like 60, 62,000 words. I'll take a little bit of a break. When I go back through, I'll probably add in another 10, 15,000 words. And on that draft, that's when I'll go over it one more time, give it to my editor, and then, but that whole process will probably take, I'm guessing, another 3 to 5 months. So Beyond Brightside will probably be done closer to the end of the year, and that's when I will submit it to agents. I don't think I will be putting that out on my own, or at least not right away. I'll wait to see how agents are responding to that. And then also finish the short story collection. I've had all these short stories finished for a while. My father is looking them over right now to see which ones he thinks can go together, which ones we should set to the side, which ones need to be reworked. I think there might be about 28 or so, and I believe about 20 are really solid. I'm happy with them. Not sure if they're all going to go in the collection or not. But to rework the other ones, I'm giving myself like 2 months altogether. And that's not working on them straight, but I was like, okay, I could do that while I'm working on the brain book. Like, if I do that for 2 months, I'll knock them out. And then there's just a lot of little shit that I would like to get done too. But by having it written down like this, by actually putting how much time I think each one will take, because there were a couple things on there that I didn't mention, some of them are only going to take like 30 minutes or an hour. So I know I could probably just spend one day next week and knock out like three of those. So on a day that I don't feel like writing, or my brain needs a break, or I don't want to do the marketing shit, that's when I'll do that stuff. So, man, it could be a little overwhelming, but hey, that's a fucking great problem to have. That'd be so much better than actually working. Like yesterday, my wife worked until, I think 9 or 10 at night. I brought her dinner at her desk, and she was working crazy the entire day. It's usually not like that all the time for her, but man, whenever I think about that, I don't think I could handle the stress of having an actual real job. Being a father, taking care of the house, and creating shit, that's more my speed. I'm very grateful I have that ability to do that. And yeah, so I'd never take it for granted. I am grateful. Alright, but now talking about all this stuff makes me want to go do it. I have 2 more hours before my son gets out of school today, so I can actually get some stuff accomplished. Maybe I'll finish this first scene or get it fleshed out a little bit more on the Beyond Brightside. I think that's what I want to do. We have a nice little conflict going right now, a couple dead bodies. Good stuff. Alright guys, so let's go ahead into the story. Like I was saying, this is a short story from 25 Perfect Days plus 5 more. It's called 4%. Don't remember when or where it was first published. It was probably like 2000, shit, I don't know, it was a long time ago. This story is kind of old. So that is from 25 Perfect Days plus 5 more. If you guys enjoyed the stories from Twisted Reunion, you'd probably like these ones too. And especially if you're a dystopian fan, it's very much like 1984. People compare it to George Orwell and stuff like that. So here it is. The official version you can get pretty much anywhere they sell audiobooks. That's narrated by my friend Dave Thompson. This one is narrated by myself. I went ahead and narrated this just so I can share it, because the other version, it's exclusive through Audible, so I'm not supposed to put out the short stories. So doing it this way, I can do it. All right, guys, so hopefully you will enjoy this short story. Stick around next week, and I will think of a new one for you. All right, have a great week, and I will talk to you later. Peace.
June 2nd, 2043. Man, it stinks. Julio Ortega smiled at his 6-month-old niece in the car seat. Was that you, Vanessa? Maria took her eyes off the road to glance at her brother in the rearview mirror. It's all the meat processors. She pointed. That's Farmer John's over there. And up here on the right is Bristol Farms. The whole area smells. So why'd they bury the DMV all the way back here? Julio asked. Enrique, Maria's husband, said, I'm sure part of it was the cheap cost of land. The other... We're here, Maria interrupted. She pulled their beat-up Buick into the parking lot and said, I'm just glad they only handle licenses. Enrique, do you remember how long you'd have to wait at the old DMVs? It took hours just to register this thing. Julio said, How would he know? Enrique turned in his seat and glared at Julio. I've been to the DMV before. Maria shot Julio a look in the mirror. Drop it. Julio kept quiet because he lived in their house. If he ever got his own place, he'd tell Enrique what he thought of him. Maria shut off the car. Julio glanced out the back window, amazed at how large and intimidating the building was. It's awful big for a DMV. He unbuckled his niece and took her out of the car seat. Maria wouldn't allow him to carry her today. He understood. Outside, Julio gagged on the stench. They all gagged. Jesus, that shit's terrible, Julio said. Language, Julio. Maria acted as if the smell didn't bother her while covering Vanessa's nose and mouth with her blanket. Julio hurried to the entrance and held the door open. A steel wall separated the employees from the public. Maria and Enrique moved past him without a thank you, and stood in line at the second of the 3 dark tinted windows. Figuring they wanted to be alone, Julio found a group of empty seats and took it all in so he'd know what to expect when he came back on his own. 3 lines were a lot fewer than he'd imagined, nothing like the stories. The longest line, labeled forfeitures, was closest to the employee entrance. 4 couples were in front of Maria and Enrique in the renewal line. The last line, which only had 2 guys in it, was for new licenses. Both boys looked about 18, the magical number Julio had to wait 1 more month for. These guys were nervous, moving their jaws back and forth, one of them chewing on his lip. On the other side of the wall, Julio noticed 1 last window. This one had no glass, and it was waist level, much smaller, roughly the size of the TV they had at home. He didn't see how anyone could possibly have a conversation with the clerk on the other side of the wall. There wasn't anyone in that line. An electronic display with the number 27 hung above the window. Another display loomed above the door he had thought was for employees. Enrique and Maria were next. Julio glanced around the hushed lobby. Over 100 people, yet it was quieter than church at communion. Only the occasional sighs and stifled sobs breaking the silence. The light above the steel door blinked the number 72 and blinged 3 times. An older man at the end of Julio's row stared down at the wrinkled piece of paper in his hand and then back at the light. The man took hold of his wedding ring and spun it round his finger. The light blinked again, and the man struggled to his feet. Julio wished him good luck as he limped by. Enrique sat in the chair 2 feet away from Julio, so Maria and Vanessa could sit in the middle. Who's he?
Some old dude.
You hope he gets his renewal?
I hope everyone gets theirs.
Well, not everyone can. Julio was about to say something. Maria jumped in.
Look, mi amor.
She handed a piece of paper to Enrique.
77.
Is that good? Maria rocked Vanessa and tried to smile. 7's my favorite number.
Good, Enrique said. He placed a kiss on Maria's cheek. Everything's gonna be okay. You're gonna get it.
Maria held her baby close to her chest.
Of course I will. Won't I, Vanessa?
Julio looked at the ticket Enrique held. Why are there 2 numbers on it?
I keep 1/2 and Enrique takes the other. Here.
I won't need it, Enrique said. Keeping her voice low, she told him to take it. Enrique ripped off his half and gave back hers. The display blinged again, and the number 73 appeared above the steel door. A teenage girl wept in the front row.
I changed my mind, she told the bald man beside her. I don't want to drive anymore.
The man hugged her and whispered something in her ear. She continued to cry. The steel door opened, and 2 armed guards stepped into the lobby. The bald man helped the girl to her feet and walked her to the door. Her trembling legs buckled when the man passed her on to the guards. I suppose you want her to get hers too, Enrique said. At least she has a license to renew.
Stop it, Maria said. I love both of you, but you need to stop fighting.
Well, how can he talk? He's never gotten one.
Neither have you, Enrique said. Julio was tempted to tell him how he'd been practicing out in the desert and already knew how to drive.
I'm going to.
Maria looked ready to slap him.
Why would you do that? What's wrong with the bus? You don't even have money for a car.
I started state this fall, and I'm not even trying to take the bus down there. It'll take me forever and make it so I can't even work enough.
Enrique asked about Julio's bike.
It's over 30 miles to Long Beach.
So, Enrique said,
it'd be good for you.
Yeah, just like not having my license in high school has been good for me. You ever try picking up a girl on a 10-speed?
Maria pulled Vanessa closer.
Well, some things are more important than others.
Like family? Julio asked.
She bent down and kissed Vanessa's forehead.
Exactly.
Well, that's why I'm getting my license. So when I get married, my wife won't have to.
Damn it, Julio. Don't make me ask you to wait in the car, Maria said. Why can't you understand? I need a license for my job. If I can't drive, I'll have to take a job where I work 2x the hours for 1/2 the pay. We can't make it on that. Plus, it only takes Enrique 10 minutes to ride to work.
Julio shrugged as number 74 blinked on the display. An elderly lady with a cane hobbled over to the steel door, stood in front of it as tall as she could.
You know Enrique can't drive, so stop acting like he can. It's not his fault.
He doesn't care, Enrique said.
When I married him, everyone could get a license. They didn't have all these stupid rules.
Maria shook her head.
Dyslexia. Come on.
Julio kept staring at Enrique, thinking what a coward he was. Maria looked at Vanessa, then Enrique.
Even if they let him, I wouldn't. We're fine the way we are.
Are you serious?
Enrique's eyes were on the door. His fingers played with the beads of his rosary necklace.
Drop it, Julio. This isn't the time.
Whatever.
Julio looked at Maria.
I'm just saying, if I can't get my license, I'm driving without one.
Are you crazy?
Her shout woke Vanessa, but Maria kept going.
Do you have any idea what happens to unlicensed drivers? If you get pulled over?
She stopped herself and made the sign of the cross.
A guy who looked a few years older than Julio rose from his chair when 75 blinked on the display. He defiantly waited in front of the steel door before the guards fully opened it.
That was how Julio would do it. Like a man. Everyone was so worried about being in the 4% that got their renewals denied. What they didn't see was the 96% chance they wouldn't.
Is that your renewal?
Julio pointed at the wrinkled paper in Maria's hand.
Can I see it?
She handed him the sweaty slip. He pointed at the barcode.
This is what they scan to see if you get the renewal.
There's got to be a way to change it. I've got some friends that are really good with computers.
Enrique said, it's a little late for that.
We'll come back.
They give it to you the day before your renewal date, Maria said. You can't change it. Enrique said, You think you have the answer to everything? You think I haven't researched it? You think I don't care? Julio shrugged. He handed the slip back to his sister as the display chimed. A middle-aged man headed for the door. Maria was next. It's only 4%, she said. I'll get renewed. Julio agreed. Only 1 out of 25 don't. I wish Vegas had those kinds of odds. I'd move there tomorrow. Maria chuckled. It sounded all wrong. Not like her at all. You've done this a bunch of times already. No big deal. Julio tried to preoccupy her mind. Asked her how many times it was for her. I started driving when I was 16. Back then, you only had to get renewed once every 4 years. They changed the law when I turned 19. So this is my 9th, I think. See, Julio said. Those are great odds. Enrique wrapped his arms around Maria and Vanessa. All three sat in silence until Maria's number appeared on the screen. Julio gave her a hug and wished her good luck. Enrique walked to the door and came back with Vanessa in his arms. She'll be okay, Julio said. Thanks. Two more people went in for the renewals before Enrique spoke again. So why do you want to go to college anyway? Are you saying I'm not smart enough? No, not at all. I just didn't know if you know what you want to do with your life yet. College isn't for everyone, especially with no jobs out there. Shit, maybe I'll go into politics. I'll change this stupid law. Do you even know why they came up with the 4% regulation? Yeah. Sort of. How are you going to fight to change it if you don't know why it exists? There should be exceptions. I know that much. I don't care what the reasons are, but moms and old people and teenagers should be exempt. Pretty much everyone. Well, at least mothers. What about single fathers? What about grandparents who take care of an orphaned grandchild? There would be too many loopholes. Everyone would fight it. They'd all have good reasons. Oh, I agree, Enrique said. But that's not what they would say. They'd say if we got rid of the law, we'd be in the same spot we were back 10 years ago. Freeway shootings every day. Riots. Was it really like that? I don't remember it being as bad as they say, but I know there was a time when it took 3 hours to drive from here to Pomona. It's only 20 miles. Exactly. Just 4% couldn't fix all that. Think of all those people who opted out. The ones who have never set foot in this place. Plus those who don't qualify like me. It's still stupid. It is what it is. All we can do is pray. Julio heard the chime and glanced to see what number they were on. It was the display above the tiny window. Number 52 blinked 3 times. A man in the second row moaned. Ah, Jesus. We don't need to see this, Enrique said quietly. Enrique took off his rosary and looked away. Julio couldn't. The man stumbled to the window, holding a hand over his heart, saying over and over again there had been a mistake. The man put his mouth to the window and shouted, You're wrong. It's not 52. My wife is 52. 2 small bags were pushed into the opening. The man's hands fumbled as he undid the string around the top of the black bag. He pulled out a silver watch and read the inscription. His voice cracked gently into the opening. Give her back. Give me back my wife. The man grabbed the yellow bag and threw it against the wall. The bag burst, a cloud of fine gray dust floating down upon him as he fell to his knees. The steel door opened, and the 2 armed guards rushed to the man's side. They took him by his shoulders and helped him to his feet. Before they took him outside, one of the men grabbed the black bag and brought it with them. As soon as they were out of the way, a little man with a broom rushed over to the window and swept up the ashes. Julio told Enrique was over once the janitor was finished. Enrique's voice wavered when he said, "Thank God." He wouldn't look away from the beads of the rosary running under his thumb. Poor guy. The more Julio thought about it, 4% was a low number, but it was a real possibility. He had to remain optimistic. Maria would make it. "No, mija," Enrique said softly. "No, Vanessa, let go." Vanessa had both her little hands wrapped around the necklace. Instead of brushing them off, Enrique put his hands over hers and whispered it was okay. Julio watched as a smile crept across Vanessa's face. It would be good to see her grow up. He'd even consider finding a closer college he could bike to. Enrique said something Julio didn't hear. "I asked what was the number up there before." "On which one?" "Above the window." Julio looked at the 52 blinking on the display. "I'm pretty sure it was 27. Why?" The beads crashed to the floor, scattering everywhere. Vanessa shrieked in approval, but Enrique didn't seem to notice. "Maria's 77. "So, it's random, right?" "I thought so." Enrique held up the number. "But what are the odds?" "Of what?" Enrique moaned, rocking back and forth with Vanessa. "Oh man, it can't be. I don't get it. What's wrong? She'll be fine. 77, 52, 27, increments of 25. It can't be totally random." Julio told him to relax. "They're taking every 25th person in line." Enrique handed Vanessa to Julio and ran to the steel door. Julio headed with Vanessa toward the exit. She was too young to remember any of this, but there was no reason for her to listen to her dad pounding on the door, screaming and crying like a baby. As he headed outside, Julio wondered how they were going to get home.